The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
The announcement of the appointment of Miss Anne Caulfield to being Chief Executive Officer Designate of the Gambling Regulatory Authority of Ireland signals an increased scrutiny on the gambling industry in this country. The new position is going to have a broad scope of remit, responsibility for online gambling, for gambling advertising, for gambling websites and for apps. Joining me on the line is Minister of State with responsibility for law reform, James Brown, TD. Minister, can you explain what the primary role and the primary objective for Ms. Caulfield is likely to be?
So as the CEO designate of the new Gambling Regulatory Authority, our role will be very much as an independent and robust regulator overseeing the gambling industry. So that will be around licences, issuing codes of conduct that will be binding and taking legal action against those industry users who are not complying with the necessary codes. And coming from a public health perspective to ensure that, for example, children under 18 are not gambling or being exposed to gambling advertising, ensuring that vulnerable gambling users are protected within the industry and not being taken advantage of.
Well, can you move to that latter issue? How is the regulatory authority going to stop vulnerable users being taken advantage of?
So to do it in a number of ways. First of all, the ending of credit gambling, so that you're not using, for example, credit cards or other forms of credit to gamble, knowing your customer checks to ensure that, again, that you know who your customers are, and that, for example, again, that they are not children, having a register of vulnerable users, so whereby you can put yourself, if you have a gambling addiction, onto this register to notify the gambling industry that you are not to be allowed to gamble. Now, that will be a register you can put yourself onto, but also targeting the types of advertising that's used to target vulnerable users and ending all VIP treatment and free bets and special bets odds that are used. All of those types of incentives and allurements are used to keep people gambling when they're trying to sell.
If somebody doesn't put themselves on the register of vulnerable users, and a huge amount of vulnerable users will not self-identify and won't do that, if they don't do that, what is there as an external protection for them, or is it entirely down to the betting companies to vet them and to try to protect them when they're economically incentivized to do the opposite?
Well, yes, absolutely. The register will be a self-imposed register, if you like, and you will be able to take yourself back off it. But what it will do is give yourself that breathing space, that where you feel you need to put a bet on if you have yourself on that register. I agree, not everybody recognises they have a problem. That's one of the most insidious things about gambling addiction. We can see people with, for example, drink or drug addictions, kind of their descent down, but very often for gambling addicts, the first we know about it is maybe when the sheriff or the Gardaí are at the door, or God forbid something worse has happened. So this is where the regulator comes in to ensure that there are codes of conduct to protect vulnerable users. Those conduct codes of conduct are tied to their licenses, and the regulator can take action to prosecute, to fine, and very importantly, shut down a gambling industry, a business where they are not complying with.
But hang on, if I am a gambling company, my job is to get people to gamble as much as they can. So how are you going to stop me doing that when that's the core, that's the fiduciary responsibility of my senior executive team and my directors, is to get people to gamble?
Well, we're not about banning gambling. What we are about is protecting vulnerable gambling users and ensuring that gambling, when it is happening, is not targeting, for example, children. So that's where those codes of conduct will come into place, and where the gambling regulator, who will be backed up by approximately 100 employees with areas of expertise and a gambling board, to ensure that those people are protected.
Sorry, Minister, I don't want to harp on this, but it's easy enough to stop a child because you're able to say, well, that's a binary position. You're either above the age at which you can gamble or you're not. But if somebody in the evenings or somebody on the bus or somebody in their break time in work is spending an absolute fortune, hand over fist, gambling, what's to make the gambling companies say we should intervene? They're incentivized to support the customer doing that.
That's what the industry is. They want to get people to gamble, and this is where the gambling regulator comes into place to ensure that those vulnerable gambling users are protected insofar as possible. There's nothing to stop anybody gambling in the legislation or, by the way, the gambling regulator. If you want to gamble your money, that's your decision. And what is excessive gambling will change from person to person. So a single male earning €100,000 a year can afford to gamble a lot more than, say, somebody with a large family and a much lower income. So it's very challenging to, if you like, assess what individual's ability to gamble is. But what we will do, and through a social fund that will be put into place, paid for the gambling industry, provide funding for treatment, for education, for awareness and for research, as well as putting those codes of conduct in place, as well as banning credit gambling and other forms.
Okay, well, let me put it to you this way then, James Brennan. There's going to be two obvious criteria which are easy. There's going to be the ones where people self-register and say, I have a gambling problem, and they put their own hand up. There's going to be the ones where people are underage. For the everybody else in the cohort of regular gamblers, what criteria do you use, or will the industry have to use, to define them as problem gamblers?
So it's about looking at the nature and the frequency of their gambling. It's about knowing their customer. It's about engaging with those customers and flagging to those customers when they see a certain amount of gambling that may be deemed to be excessive. That would all be governed by the very way of codes of conduct brought in by the gambling regulator, and also by way of the legislation that will be coming in autumn. As well, of course, those steps of prohibiting credit gambling as well, which will be an important step to ensure that people are not gambling.
But how will the companies know? I mean, you describe somebody with €100,000 a year. If somebody has €20,000 set aside in their gambling fund and they quietly work their way through it, is that the point where you say when they get to zero, is that when you step in?
But the credit gambling is about banning the use of credit cards or funds that you don't have yourself. So you will have to deposit funds to be able to use to gamble. So you will. But in terms of, there won't be a situation, for example, you do a type of affidavit of means that you might do in a family in a family law situation. Ultimately, it is about individual responsibility. What we want to do is try and put in as many checks and as possible to ensure that it is flagged for people who are vulnerable gambling, that the supports are there, that there is awareness, and that there is education, to try and catch as many people as possible. But it won't be, there is no magic bullet to prevent all problem gambling. What we want to do is minimize it and put those supports in place and have a powerful gambling regulator that will issue codes of conduct and that will regulate the gambling industry for the first time, because the legislation we have at the moment from the 30s and the 50s is simply not fit for purpose. And that's what this legislation and the regulatory authority will do.
It has obviously been a long gestation for the Gambling Regulatory Authority of Ireland, because the original proposals mooted to create such an authority were several years ago. It's likely now to be 2023 before we see it to be fully up and running. Is that right?
It is. It is a major undertaking. What you're talking about is an industry that's not simply about regulating the business that hasn't been regulated or licensed effectively for decades, but also about anti-money laundering and preventing criminal activity. It's about putting a social fund in place paid by the industry that will provide treatment and education, awareness and research. It's about putting legislation in place to protect those vulnerable users and other elements as well. It's a very important piece of legislation. It's one of the biggest pieces of legislation that will come before the Houses in years. And as I say, on top of that, then you have the regulatory authority that will have up to 100 employees, all with various pieces of expertise around those core areas.
Will you have any specific objective metrics by which to measure its success in terms of the impact it has on the market? Has it any targets like, we want to see the number of people being treated for vulnerable gambling decreasing by X, or we want to see the amount of fines levied on the industry increase by Y? Are there any hard metrics like that that will be applied to it?
Well, I suppose its measure of successes will be that fines won't be needed or that licences won't need to be revoked. There are powers that are there, though, that can be used by the regulatory authority if needed and will be used. There are powerful forces of sanctions that can be used. And as I say, it's not simply about fines, but can actually remove the licences. And we can also target as well the service providers where we might have unregulated gambling being, if you like, fed into Ireland. So they will be there. We know there's approximately 55,000 problem gamblers in Ireland. We know that from evidence that the age profile is reducing in terms of those who have problem gambling, and that the age profile, for example, the numbers 18 to 34 are increasing. So we want to see the evidence there reducing. But there is a lack of evidence and research in Ireland. A lot of the evidence we have to rely on is from the UK. So this social fund that will be paid by the gambling industry will also fund a research by the Gambling Regulatory Authority to get the hard evidence we need so we can tackle gambling in its very particular nature here in Ireland.
James Brown, thank you very much. That is James Brown, Minister of State with responsibility for law reform. And he was speaking there about the announcement of the appointment of Anne Caulfield, who is going to be taking over the new role of Chief Executive Officer Designate of the Gambling Regulatory Authority of Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.